Yes, what a joyous occasion we have. And as the readings point out, but sometimes we can get kind of lost in the details, this actually isn't a Marian feast. It involves Mary, yes, but it's the Annunciation of our Lord. So this is when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And maybe some of you have been to the Holy Land. I've been blessed to be to the place. In the Angelus, we say, and the Word became flesh, and then we genuflect and dwelt among us. But in the Holy Land, it says, the Word became flesh here. Eli, I think, is the word, Illi. And there's a place, and you can go and you can touch it. Right there. That's where it's believed that was Mary's house, and that's where the angel came to her. That's where she gave her great fiat. And it's really amazing. First of all, just to think that the Word became flesh, God became human. But there's a physical place. It was like right there. That's where it happened. That's where God became man. Is really quite amazing. But most of you probably haven't been there. And that's fine. Because there's another place where the Word has become flesh. And it's right here in your heart. And He continues to deepen that presence of Him within our hearts and our minds and our souls through the Word of God. We allow the Word to become flesh within us when we receive the Word, and we allow the Word to work within us. So even if you haven't been to Jerusalem, even if you're never going to get there, that's okay. Because you've got Jerusalem, or actually, excuse me, it's not in Jerusalem, it's in Nazareth. You got Nazareth right here. And that's a beautiful reality. That's what we're celebrating today. The unfathomable mystery that God, who is beyond all time, who is beyond creation, who is the Creator, became part of creation, but at the same time never compromised His divinity. So true divinity and true man all at once. It's quite amazing, quite marvelous, and people have marveled over this for 2,000 years, and will continue to marvel over this for however long the earth exists. We're never really going to get to the bottom of it till we get to the other side of this life, and that's all right, because we're meant to enter deeper and deeper and deeper into this mystery. Now, we're also meant to take some cues from Mary here. Again, I'm not trying to downplay Mary, but this isn't—it's not a Marian feast. It's a Christological feast. It's about our Lord, we could say, and her great docility to the Lord. I know I've preached on this before, so I won't go too far, because I think most of you have probably heard some of this. But here's a 14-year-old girl. The archangel Gabriel comes and basically says, the Savior of the world that your people have been anticipating for thousands of years is going to come through you. What do you think, Mary? What do you say? Can you imagine what that would have been like? I probably would have ran away. I would have been terrified. You know, what is going on here? But Mary's a very holy woman, young woman at this point, right? And she's been without sin for her whole life. She probably wasn't aware of that, but she's, you know, the Immaculate Conception. She's been preserved from sin. And so she's in a place where when the archangel comes, she can actually have a discussion and work through this with the archangel. Now, she doesn't completely understand it. But when she gets to the point where she realizes that this is from God, that God wants this, fiat, be it done unto me according to your will. Imagine how her mind and heart might have been racing. Well, what does this mean? What am I going to tell Joseph? What are my parents going to think? I'm going to be pregnant. I'm not married, fully married yet. What? All the different implications. The Savior? How am I going to care for the Savior? I don't even have any kids. You know, I was consecrated as a virgin for life. And now my first child is going to be the Son of God. Whoa, what am I going to do? Some of these things probably were in her mind and heart, but this is God's will. So fiat, be it done unto me according to your will, O Lord. Beautiful. And Jesus, the same thing to the Father, right? That's what we see especially in the responsorial, and then the second reading from the Hebrews. You know, you don't desire all these sacrifices and these animals and whatnot. That's not what you primarily want, Lord. What you want is for me to do your will. And the author of Hebrews kind of interprets that psalm a little bit and says, you gave me a body. In the psalm it says you gave me ears to hear your word. But what the author of Hebrews says, let me find it here now. Oh yeah, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Again, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A body you prepared for me. That's the sacrifice, is total self-emptying love of our Lord. That's the sacrifice that the Lord wants from us. Not necessarily hanging on the cross, but total self-emptying love. Giving it all to Him. And then through Him, we give our love to other people. A body you prepared for me, Lord. Not just for Jesus. He prepared a body for me and for you too. So I come to do your will. This docility, this trust in the Lord that Mary has and that Jesus has. Now, Jesus knew what was going to happen when he accepted this. Him and the Father, decided from all eternity that this was the plan. This is how we were going to be redeemed. Mary didn't have all that foresight and knowledge, and neither do we. And it's kind of scary when the Lord calls us to leave certain aspects of our life behind and go and pursue a different path. But to have this trust and this docility in the Lord, beautiful. And again, that's how we let the Word become flesh more and more within us. I can't remember if I've mentioned this. I probably have, but it's worth repeating. That's Hans Urs von Balthasar. I dare you to try to say that 10 times in a row. A very prominent theologian from the previous century, one of John Paul II's favorites, who was going to make him a cardinal, and he died 3 days before the ceremony when they the consistory, I think they call it, when they consecrate people cardinals. But Hans Urs von Balthasar was a very deep theologian. His reading is not for the faint of heart. I'm just saying, it's really good stuff, but it's thick. But he famously said, the Word becomes more and more flesh. This is the Word of God from all eternity becoming more and more flesh in the liturgy, speaking especially about the Eucharistic liturgy. As we move through the liturgy, the Word is proclaimed from the proclaimer of the Word, from the priest or deacon who proclaims the gospel through the homily. The Word becomes more and more flesh, and eventually becomes flesh, right? The bread becomes His flesh on the altar. And the flesh becomes more and more Word. And that's us. We become more and more like Him throughout the liturgy and throughout our lives too, if we live good, strong Christian lives. So the Word becomes more and more flesh. And the flesh becomes more and more Word. The church fathers are very fond of saying that, God became man so that man might become God. And that doesn't mean that we displace the Trinity, but it means we become full members of the body of Christ. We become the perfect creations that He created us to be. That never completely happens until we leave this life, but God became man. The Word became flesh so that we could partake in His very own divine life. This relationship that I was talking about on Sunday, the Lord brings us right into the very relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. That's why the Word became flesh. That's why God became man. That's why I'm standing here. That's why you're out there. And that's why we're celebrating this particular feast. How beautiful it is. And I know I'm getting theological on you here, but there's some very deep theological truths. And so we're meant to ponder these. Yes, some of these mysteries we're never going to be able to exhaust, but we can still enter more deeply into them each day, every day, throughout all of our lives. So I invite you to just meditate on this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word becomes flesh within me. The Word, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell within me. What does that mean? Is my life different because of that? How is the Lord calling me to live differently because of that beautiful, marvelous reality? Ponder these things. Pray about these things. Think about these things. What does this mean for my life? Is this just mumbo jumbo that Father Joe's talking about? Or is there something here? Is there something I'm meant to grab onto here, Lord? How are you trying to speak to me to become more and more flesh within me? Ponder these questions. They're not empty questions. It's not a waste of your time. You're going to hear the Lord speaking to you in a very wonderful way. And then, like Jesus, like Mary, you can say, Lord, be it done unto me. A body you gave me, a body I give back to you. I give myself to you just like you lavish yourself entirely upon me. take this to prayer, brothers and sisters. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. It'll be a good kind of supercharger for you during Lent, but even beyond. Ponder these mysteries, allow the Lord to transform you and delight you. And just lift you up, strengthen you, guide you to newer horizons, guide you to those greener pastures, those flowing waters. That's the Christian life. Let's live it to the full.